Okay, well, we closed off the last lesson 34 in Romans, reading Jeremiah 11, verses 16 and 17 about the olive tree, and we're going to start up with that again right now. Jeremiah 11, 16, "The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken." Verse 17, "For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal." So we see it right there. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, talking about the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Combined, that's the nation of Israel. So the olive tree in Scripture is Israel. And we go on, we find out that the branches are broken. It mentioned that in the 16th verse there in Jeremiah 11. Then Paul commented in the 17th verse to say that they were broken off, and it says why? For the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah. Paul confirms in Romans 11, 19, and 20 that the branches were broken off. And it was because of unbelief they were broken off. Unbelief. Remember, that's what caused Israel to fall, not believing that Jesus was the Messiah, the risen Son of God. They didn't believe the gospel of God. They lacked faith, the word faith. We see it there in Acts, Romans 10. So Paul is saying that whoever these individual persons were, past tense, that they did not believe. They were broken off. And it was those persons that were the branches that were broken off. Those broken off branches are the individual Israelites that disbelieved God. Unbelievers. In the Old Testament, the disbelieving Israelites were the ones that offered incense to Baal, as we saw in that opening reading there in Jeremiah 11:17. Here in Paul's Acts 20 epistle, written in Acts 20, Romans was, in Romans, they were the ones that did not believe that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah, the Son of God that rose from the dead. They did not believe the facts about Jesus, that he was the one prophesied in the Old Testament and was coming to bear the sins of his people Israel, of many, as it says in Isaiah 53:11. So what are the broken off branches in Romans 11:7 and in Romans 11:17-24, the heart of the passage? The broken off branches are those individual Israelites offering incense to Baal in unbelief, and those later that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So the broken off branches were the unbelieving Israelites of the nation of Israel, the apostate Israelites. They are the rest that are blinded in Romans 11:7. What then? Israel hath not obtain that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The rest are those unbelieving apostate Israelites. Well, what about the wild olive tree? The wild olive tree was everyone other than Israel. Man went wild after Noah's flood, long before God called out Abram. And we see that being a proselyte is related to being grafted into the olive tree. So let's review what constitutes being a proselyte into Israel. God required circumcision as a sign or token of God's covenant with Israel. Let's look at some verses about that. Genesis 17, verses 12 through 14. Genesis 17, 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. In other words, it's an ongoing thing. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, is which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. It's interesting, the difference between the flesh and the spirit shows up there. The difference between Israel and the body of Christ. Although the body of Christ, of course, is not mentioned or known about at that point. But Genesis 17:14, and the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. But what if a non-Jew wanted to be part of Israel? Look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 43 and 48 to 49. Starting in verse 43 of Exodus 12. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat of it. Only Israelites could partake of the Passover. And again, what if a non-Jew wanted to be part of Israel and its events? Well, verses 48 and 49 say, when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, and here's the condition that qualifies the stranger to be called a Jew. It says, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Verse 49, one law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. He has... has to do with grafting into Israel the olive tree, the proselyting. He shall be as one that is born in the land. Let all his males be circumcised, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. Okay? So, the olive tree was Israel, and those proselyted Gentiles were grafted into the olive tree, and Israel's promises too. And remember Jeremiah 11:16-17, the Lord calls the house of Israel and the house of Judah a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit, and the noise of a great tumult he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. So here in Romans 11, Paul, well versed in the Old Testament, was talking about Israel's apostate branches that be broken off. Some of the branches were broken off of Israel, the olive tree, and thou, being a Gentile, a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, into Israel, the olive tree, as part of the commonwealth of Israel. As Gentiles, they became circumcised as proselytes, no longer Gentiles. And so they were grafted into the commonwealth of Israel and got in under Israel's covenants of promise in that way. That's how they got into the olive tree, into Israel's commonwealth. Nothing at all had been revealed yet about the body of Christ. So nothing that Paul quoted related in any way to the body of Christ when he's talking about the olive tree. What about partaking? Partaking is the, partaking of Israel's blessings under the Genesis 12, verse 3 promise that those that bless the seed of Abraham get a blessing from God. It says in Genesis 12, 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Hosea's prophecy applies at this point, and we recognize the term Lo Am I, and the verse explains it, Hosea 1:9. Hosea told Israel, Hosea the prophet told Israel that God said, "Call his name Lo Am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." That's a prophecy. So God is prophesying that there will be a time when Israel will stop being God's people for a while. And that happened at the end of Acts. God inspired Paul to pronounce Isaiah's casting away curse on Israel in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, which we're going to read here, read it through at least once in this lesson. Let's look at Acts 28, starting in verse 25. "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves." They suspended that curse from Isaiah 6 that Paul quoted to them, suspended their special standing with God. They could still come to God in the same way that we do, but they do not have that special blessing that they had before. During the book of Acts, Israel was diminishing after that fall. After they fell in Acts 7, they diminished, and they were getting closer and closer to being totally cast away for that nation's apostasy, idolatry, and iniquity, capped by their rejection of their Messiah and their blaspheming of the Holy Ghost by stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. But it had not happened yet. From the writing of Romans in Acts 20 until Israel's Acts 28 casting away, Paul still had some time left to preach the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation, to those Jews, proselytes, and Jew blessing Greeks in Acts, in the time period of Acts, to try to convince some of that remnant to believe the gospel of salvation and thereby become members of the body of Christ. In Romans 11:25, Paul revealed that not all of Israel was yet blinded, but that blindness is happened to Israel. Well, the remnant that that still had opportunity to believe Paul's gospel of salvation. But Paul tells us in Romans 11:17, the rest were blinded. In Hosea 1:9, "Lo am I" means you are not my people. I will not be your God. So they stopped being God's people when that prophecy came true at Paul's reading of it in Acts 28. And we can see in Scripture that it did happen to Israel, that they were not God's people anymore. They became Lo Ammi. Okay, Ephesians 3, verses 4 through 9, tell us that the mystery of the body of Christ is unsearchable. Yes, the word unsearchable, it has come to mean extraordinary and wonderful, but the word has meant, search as you may, you cannot find it. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It's not in any previous prophecies or writings, being unsearchable. It cannot be found before Christ saved Paul. And even later than his salvation, began revealing to him these mysteries. It was not told before that. They're not in there. It was hidden. It was kept secret. The Holy Spirit inspired the use of many phrases to assure us that what he revealed to Paul was new information. It was never revealed before. According to Ephesians 3, verses 4 through 9, the body of Christ is part of the mystery that was revealed to Paul to reveal to us, and that the mystery is unsearchable. We're going to read through those verses. Starting in Ephesians 3, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, pardon me. So the body of Christ is not in the Old Testament in any form. However, the olive tree, as we just read, is in the Old Testament. Since the olive tree is in the Old Testament and the body of Christ is not in the Old Testament, being mystery, then the olive tree cannot be the body of Christ. The body of Christ cannot be the olive tree. Also, those who were grafted into the olive tree were grafted. It's past tense. They were not grafted into the body of Christ. They were grafted into Israel. And this agrees with what we saw earlier in the scriptures about proselyting and circumcision. In Acts 13, Paul preaches three times that God's way of saving people has changed. There's a change here in what he's dispensing and the way he dispenses his salvation. Firstly, Israel has fallen. And according to Acts 13:39, Christ's new heavenly pattern now saves all believers in his gospel at the time they believe. Saved at the time they believe. Israel's ministration of the law did not do that. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Okay, that's the first thing. Secondly, Acts 13, verses 46 and 48. In those verses, Paul tells the Israel audience in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia tells them it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, you in that synagogue. But seeing you put it far from you, you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Well, notice that Paul did not say we turn to all the Gentiles. The only Gentiles we can find record of Paul turning to at that time were the Greeks in that synagogue in Antioch there, Antioch of Pisidia, in Acts 13, verses 16, verse 26, and verse 46. It brings out Gentiles that were in the synagogue. Those God-fearing, synagogue-going, Israel-blessing Gentiles that Paul was speaking of in Acts 13:48. They were glad, those Gentiles, and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Well, that was the first of three times that Paul warned Jews that he would be going to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to faith. He said it in, this time in Acts 13:46, and then in Acts 18 in Corinth in verse 6, and then finally in Acts 28, verse 25 to 29 that we just read a while back, the casting away of Israel. The third time closed the book on Israel until God regathers them after the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Look at Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, that's the first two things. The third thing here, in Acts 13:47, Paul, inspired of God to write Holy Scripture, reapplies what had been prophesied for Israel and will happen in the future. Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 60, verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising, which will occur after the first verse in Isaiah 60. Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Paul had been committed, given to him, the dispensing of the gospel that he first received when he was on the road to Damascus. He was the first one to receive that gospel and to believe it. So Paul reveals to these synagogue Jews and Greeks that the light of the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. In Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 6, it says, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Paul now says in Acts 13:47, between those other two verses, the Lord hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And that's a long-term telling of what his life is going to be, his life work. Those God-fearing, synagogue-going Gentiles, elsewhere called Greeks, were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord in Acts 13:48. But the Jews, in Acts 13:45. They were filled with envy, contradicting and blaspheming, and those Jews in Acts 13:50 raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. So the God-fearing Gentiles were glad and believed the gospel of salvation, but the Jews just took another step in their diminishing. Romans 11:12. Now if the fall of them, Israel, Israelites, that would be plural. Now if the fall of them, the Israelites, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the Israelites, be, that'd be the apostate Israelites, be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Let me just read that without comment. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness when Christ returns with his kingdom from heaven? That's what he's talking about. So, what relation is there between the body of Christ and Israel? And body of Christ and the olive tree? The olive tree is Israel in Romans 11. The branches of it were broken off, and they were the Israelites that did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. Those from a wild olive tree that weren't grafted in were those that started in the same position as the Syrophoenician woman. They believed that Jesus was the Christ. They were Gentiles. They were not in Israel's green olive tree, but they came into the synagogue. They came and blessed Israel. And they were seeking the blessing of God there. Sounds almost like people today going to church to be good enough for God. They were not grafted into the body of Christ, as some people mistakenly think. The Bible never says anything about getting into the body of Christ any other way than by believing the gospel that Paul preached, that only Paul preached. Shouldn't say that. It was the only gospel. Timothy also preached that in 1 Thessalonians 3. But the Holy Spirit spiritually baptizes them then into one body of Christ. That is the only way to get into the body of Christ. It's not by grafting. There was a time when grafting graft people into the green olive tree, but that was before Paul was reporting about it being in past tense. It was Israel that they were grafted into. We're talking about those proselytes. Now Israel is at this time lo am I, and grafting is impossible. They're not God's people anymore. And I'm going to stop there, and we'll pick up. The plan is to pick up tomorrow with it.